Drusilla Crutchfield on Monday. Monday's tape. Welcome, Holy Spirit, and good morning, my sisters in Christ. Let's turn to the Lord in love, bringing Him this morning's message, lifting it up to Him for His will to be done. Praise God. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the beautiful day that you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be on this radio broadcast. Father, I thank you for the listening ears. And now, Father, I lift this message up to you as we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to go forth, touching women, Father, and opening their hearts to the message that you have for each one. Father, thank you for this day and the beauty of it. We just commit ourselves to you this day, asking for your guidance and the teaching of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to John chapter 16. John, the book of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 16. And I trust that you have had a beautiful weekend this weekend, spending your Sunday worshiping and praising God, hearing His Word, learning of His Word, enjoying the messages that have been brought to you. I trust that you've looked and found a church home, a church that teaches God, that teaches Christ, that teaches the love of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and that can help you to grow and to abound in God's Word. Let's look at John chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Praise God. This is as Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples, speaking to his people. And he was letting them know that his time was soon coming, that he would not walk this earth any longer, that in the flesh and blood he would no longer walk this earth. His disciples would not be comforted by his presence. They would not be taught directly and daily by him. They would not have him in flesh and blood to turn to. But you see, just like all flesh and blood, the flesh must leave. And Christ had a purpose for this world. Christ had a purpose for being sent into this world in the flesh and blood. And he had fulfilled that purpose. He was about to reach the climax of that fulfillment. And that was his death on the cross, and his resurrection, and his ascension, which would in turn offer to us that eternal salvation. So Christ knew that he was about to leave this place physically. And he knew that, just as with all people, that his disciples would mourn and be sad, because they would not have the physical presence of Christ to walk with any longer. But what Christ wanted to let them know, and to let us know today, is this, that although he does not walk with us in the flesh, that he does not walk with us physically by our side, we cannot reach out and touch him. We cannot hear his voice audibly as we hear that of our husband or our brother or our sister. That although this is not true, that he has not left us. For indeed, look in verse 7, he says to the disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is the truth. "That it is expedient for you, my friends, my disciples, it is in your best interests that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." And if you go back to, in the book of St. John, chapter 14, and you look at verses 16 through 18, you will see that Jesus is again talking to his disciples. In fact, this is a little earlier. And he tells them, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And then again, we go back to chapter 16. We look at verse 7. "Nevertheless, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, part of Jesus Christ, part of God, was not dwelling in man at that moment because Jesus Christ himself was here on earth. But Jesus, not desiring to leave people without that Comforter, instead said, "I will go, and because I go, my Comforter will stay with you. My Comforter will stay with you." How indeed, you know, it's a sad thing to find out that many people do not understand, believe, or realize that the Holy Spirit is indeed part of God, of Jesus Christ. Was, is, and always will be, just exactly as God was, is, and always will be. Just as Jesus is. You see, that was set from the very beginning. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, the second verse, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." That word "moved" in Hebrew translates into "hovered." The Spirit of God. You see, from the very beginning, the Spirit of God was there, hovering upon the face of the water as God was creating this world. As God was taking charge of his vast creation. This morning I want to bring to you a message of hope, a message of joy, and a promise of the power to do all things through Christ. That power to do everything through Christ, no matter what Christ has for us to do, no matter what position we are in this world, we have the power through Jesus Christ to do that. And we have that because when Jesus Christ was finished walking here on this earth, when he was finished, when he left us a Comforter. And what is that Comforter for? What is that Comforter for? Let's look again. Verse 8, "And when he," the Comforter, "when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Of sin, because they believe not on me. You might have heard people talking about praying for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What is that? The reproving of sin. the feeling, the knowing, the conviction that there is sin in my soul and I must do something about it. You have a loved one who is not saved and you are concerned about that loved one, then pray for the conviction by the Holy Spirit, that conviction of sin. This is what Christ promises. He says, I will leave you the Comforter for the reproving of sin. For the reproving of sin. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In other words, they were convicted and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit was promised at the same time. Why? Because they were pricked in their hearts. Why were they pricked in their hearts? Because when Christ left, he left the Comforter, and one of the jobs of the Comforter is for the reproving of sin. So, sisters, if you have a husband in your home who is not saved, you have children who are not saved, then pray for that conviction of the Holy Spirit upon their lives so that they will turn their lives to Jesus Christ. Their hearts will be pricked by the beautiful conviction of the Holy Spirit. That sweet conviction, and as it is pricked, and as your prayers are interceding for them, then they will be saved. For after all, what does God say? God tells us that he has sent Jesus so that we and our households, our homes, will be saved. And I believe that God does not mean for any home, any husband and wife, any marriage to be broken up because one is saved and one is not. That is not in God's divine plan. If you are the saved partner this morning, then start praying for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your spouse. Praise God. Write to me today and let me hear from you. Let me pray with you concerning the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your home, your household, your children, your spouse, your brothers and sisters. Write today and join me again tomorrow in this important message, Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you and God bless you.